If you just remain standing, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much. We praise you with all of our hearts. We come before you seeking to honor you with everything within us. We ask, O God, that you bring with power your Holy Spirit upon us and use us. Make us your vessels for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray, O Lord, that you would ignite our hearts with the desire to worship and praise you above all else. And we do that this morning, even as we have stood and we have praised you with song and with instruments. We praise you with our hearts. We praise you with our whole beings, for you are worthy of that praise. You deserve praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, everybody. We're going to get started this morning. We're changing it up a little bit. Welcome to those of you online. We're sharing the message right up front on purpose because we're going to be talking about a character trait in our Building Character series that is not necessarily what some would call a character trait, but it really is, and that character trait is worship. Building character within us is all about who we worship. Our worship defines us, and few people ever consider worship as a character trait. So why don't you embrace it this morning with me? We're just going to embrace this idea that worship is part of our character. It defines us. It is who we are. It is whatever we wake up for, whatever we choose to focus our life and our attention on is usually what we worship. And so we're saying our worship this morning is directed to God. And so we're going to use the rest of our time this morning when the message is done to express our worship. It'll be a little bit extended. We'll get to do more of the worship with our team that God has so blessed us with. The past 3 weeks, we've looked at integrity, trust, grace, forgiveness. We've looked at courage. We've looked at wisdom. We've looked at discernment when we talked about Abigail last week. And what an amazing series this has been, just to look at the characters that God has used to develop our character. And so today's not so much about a character from Scripture as it is about the quality, the focus of worship toward God. And of course, our worship, as Paul says it this way, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." That's like all of you, all of me. Every piece of who we are is an expression of worship to God at your worst moment or at your best moment. What we share from all of who we are is an expression of worship. And sometimes we may not feel like it, and sometimes we may not have the right attitude, the right spirit. But if we keep in mind that we are presenting ourselves before God every waking moment, and even while we're sleeping, that'll kind of change our heart a little bit. So let me say this. Paul calls us to use our whole self, all of who we are, and whatever part of us is not sacrificed to God as worship could be called idolatry. So anything that takes the place of God in our life would be called idolatry. Worship means attributing worth, and all of us know exactly what or who we attribute worth to. And there should be nothing and no one in our life that should be worshiped other than God. Would you agree with that? That there should be nobody and no one else other than God who deserves worship? There's really nobody else who deserves praise or honor or glory when you think about it from this aspect, only God. And so we want to blow the door wide open today for all of us. And today we're going to teach through ways to express our worship in light of who God is, in light of His mercy. Well, sometimes we say those things so much like it's just another church Sunday, and so in light of God's mercy, in light of God's love, in light of who He is. Hey, think about it. In light of God's mercy, just His mercy alone, we should fall flat on the floor, should we not? To express our thanksgiving to Him. The one who who gave us life. I mean, out of thousands of eggs, you won, I won, we won. He gave us life. Should we not worship him? Yes? How did that happen? We had nothing to do with it. But he gave us life. Our Father, our Creator. And I love him for that, the more that we talk about him. Josh Fournier, our worship director, pointed me to a book called Holy Roar, written by Darren Whitehead, a pastor from Australia, and Chris Tomlin, one of the early pioneers of the worship movement that just brought the worship music over the past few decades that we now sing as the norm for us to worship and express our praise to God. And they wrote this book about worship. And I want you to consider this. This will sound so strange. I want you to consider worshiping God for the rest of your life. You think, well, don't I already do that? I don't know if you already do that. You don't really know if I do that. But I want you to consider making God the priority of your worship for the rest of your life. And won't it be good? How freeing would it be if the object of our worship was simply God, free from the worship of things like money and free from the worship of control and comfort and notoriety and free from the worship of your kids and your spouse or sports and most of all, free from the worship of ourselves and our own bodies, these bodies that we care for now at such high levels. I mean, we stand for hours in front of the mirror. If you ever go to a gym, it's so funny to watch people in front of the mirror. You know, it's just... And it's like, who do you think? Yeah, I know it. It's really funny. But how many more hours do you spend in front of your own mirror, looking at your own self in your own home, saying, that's good. I'm looking good. There are seven Hebrew words we're going to simply teach through that can change our lives, I think. If we apply them, I know. And then we'll join together in a form of worship that includes our voices once again, and that includes the instruments behind me and the people who play them and the God who blessed them with those kinds of talents like so many of us do not have. They sure do. And so we're going to enjoy that as we kind of wrap up today. So we're doing the teaching up front. I want you to engage your mind and your heart. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to come even now, right now, as we go through this teaching, that he just begins to speak to you, like what one of these seven Hebrew words just strikes a chord in your heart and you say, that's the word for me today. So the first Hebrew word is yada, like yada. So to revere or worship is what it means, to extend our hands, to hold out our hands. It also means to throw a stone or an arrow, and I'll explain that in a minute. But these words and definitions come straight from this book, Holy Roar. And I'll add my own inferences to them, but I'm basically going to summarize this book for you. It's a really good book, and the word yada is all about an expression of praise to God. So here's what goes on with me personally. When I have my chair time at my own home, I start my chair time out first, no matter what, and I'll say this almost without exception, no matter what, I start out praising God. I just say, God, I praise you. I know you deserve all honor and glory and praise. I look for ways to praise him. I search my heart for ways to praise him and honor him, even if I feel like crud on that day, because he still deserves my praise. He's still the only one that we can call God who deserves our all praise and all glory and all honor. And so on my chair when I'm sitting there with him, or lately it's been on the floor right out in front of him, because sometimes it's just a get out on the floor time, isn't it? That we just need to stretch ourselves before the Lord and humble ourselves before him and seek him with everything that we have, but most of all to praise him, to honor him before we even move into other conversation with him, before we present our request to him. Just praise him and honor him. He's the one who hears us. He listens to what we say. But oh, he's like a dad who loves to hear his kids give him honor and praise and thankfulness. And any dad, what dad doesn't want to hear from their kids? Dad, I just think you're the greatest dad. I love you so much. And when that happens, it'd be a miracle for me. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, it's like, hello, call me up. If you're watching, well, you know, call me. I'm your dad. Just let me know how you feel. Yada is an outward expression that shows up often like you see it does right here in this worship space where we're together. You'll just see someone go like this without even thinking about it. They'll just express praise and worship. It's instinctive. If you have to stand and think about it and worry about what anybody's going to think around me if I throw my hand up, that's not yada. Yada is when you're not thinking about what other people think, but only what God thinks. And so when you're singing, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, oh God. And it just happens naturally for us. It's not something you have to think about. This is a it doesn't matter what people think moment. I grew up in a pretty confining and non-expressive church. Anybody else grow up in like that? This, we stand, sit, kneel, sing, pray. And when it would get really, really crazy, the song leader would say, maybe you, anybody remember the song, "There is power in the blood"? There is power, wonder working fire. And the song leader would say, "We're going to get really crazy now. Instead of just one power, we're going to put 8 powers in there. Okay, ready, go. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. That's as crazy as we get. That's as much as we could do. It's all we could handle. I'm not condemning that. It was the first moment we stepped out of ourselves a little bit, you know, that's probably it. But I'm so glad it's not so much like that. Again, no condemnation. It's what I grew up in. It's the foundations I have. But lifting hands to a holy God in worship is like throwing your hands up when you're at a sporting event and you just, yeah, you can't wait. You just can't stop yourself when they're about to score or they do score. It's just so instinctive. And you shout and you praise the players on the court or on the field. Did you see that? That's just the way we live that life. We don't think about it. We need to think about it maybe a little bit more to free ourselves up and just do it and relax in the presence of God. The people of Israel did it thousands of years ago. They did it, and probably more than we do, yada. It's expressed 111 times in the scripture, signaling that the people were overcome with the God whom they serve, and they just yada, it just praised him. It's recorded. What happened to us? Where did we become so traditionally stifled in our expression to God? And I'm not saying, well, never mind. Let's keep going. Here, Psalm 145, verse 10 says, All your works praise or yada you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. All your works, I think of creation. I think of the trees. They're just like, they're standing in praise to God. I think of mountain ranges that they're just raised up in praise and honor to God. I think of the ocean. We've talked about the stuff I just love in terms of creation. And all of creation praises God. And when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem just days before he would go to the cross, he was riding in on a donkey. And people were laying down palm branches in the road for him and their coats and everything. And the disciples were just praising and shouting about the name of Jesus, the Messiah who had come to take away the sins of the world. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the traditional people of the past, said to Jesus, "Shut your disciples up. They're just making a nuisance of everything." And Jesus said, "If they don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out." And it would be a really embarrassing thing, wouldn't it? To have a rock take your place in worship. We might as well put rocks on all the chairs. And I'm not saying we just act ridiculous. That's not what worship is. But I'm saying is, why would you let a rock take your place to praise Almighty God who gave us life? Don't do that. You should be able to say, "I love you, O Lord. I just praise you with all of who I am." Psalm 67:3 says, may the peoples praise or yadah you, God. May all the peoples praise you. You needn't feel inhibited. When people come up out of the baptistry, they throw their hands up in victory, sometimes instinctively. Have you seen it? When they come up out of the water, they go, woo, like that. And they are so pumped, so excited. Just like we saw last week with Eliza when she was baptized. Why, do you know that those young adults in that corner right there, they hooped and they hollered in praise and honor of what God was doing in Eliza's life. Don't save it for the Red Sox or the Patriots. Some people think that they don't, that God doesn't quite rank above them, but He does. He does. And so we should praise Him. We should honor Him. Halal is next: to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Halal is the primary word for praise. It's the word from which we get hallelujah. Halal. It indicates exuberant expression and celebrating. And so far, the first two words we're talking about do not have this as their posture. It's just, they don't. It's exuberant celebration. Praise His name. Psalm 149, verse 3 says, praise or halal His name with dancing. Oh, really? Accompanied by tambourine and harp. Dancing? We were told, you're not allowed to dance or play cards. Anybody hear that one in your whole life? And I'd say, okay, put the cards down, but you can dance. Come on. No, we won't do that. So the Levites, one of the tribes of Israel that would lead in worship, would play their instruments, igniting the praise of the people for God, and the worshipers would shout, they would sing, and they would dance. And perhaps it would seem a little undignified to some to shout and dance. And I know this is New England. I know we're a little more reserved, perhaps. You know, we may not shout and dance unless it is the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and we're tied. Then everybody's up on their feet. Sometimes they're on their feet, can you believe it, for the whole last quarter. And they never do sit down again. And then at the end, when it's tied, they're shouting and roaring, and everybody's a lot, right? And would you say that on occasion people make fools of themselves or paint their faces half silver and half blue and wear silly hats? And it's true. But when I think of what I shared just a minute ago, when Eliza came out of the baptistry, and those young adults praise the Lord. Halal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. God is deserving of our hallelujahs. Amen? Amen. It's true. I know. Yes. Yes. I know. Sometime through this, you're going to burst out of your chairs like it's the last quarter, the last 5 minutes. The next word is zamar, which is to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. And most of us recognize the very, very powerful tool that music is, true? Oh my goodness, moves us like crazy, moves our soul, touches our heart, brings tears streaming down our faces at times. The power of the lyrics and the messages can speak and move us, and the tones and the qualities like no other medium can. And few would deny the lyrics of some songs in our culture today that are not like what we're talking about, but the lyrics are so dark, with messages inviting people into the most dark and demoralizing places, that I think Satan himself is surprised by the level of evil of those that he's influencing. Those who invite people to unimaginable immorality or drugs or suicide. Are you aware of some of those songs? And if you aren't, I'm glad you're not. But some of what is being presented as music is no song at all. It's just an invitation to death. That's what's being promoted in some songs. That's not what we're talking about. On the other side of that type of darkness is the light of praise and worship and music that prepares our hearts and minds for God to move. And he moves so directly sometimes through a song and through the lyrics of a song that it gives us a focus for the rest of our day. Or he speaks truth into our life through some of the worship that we offer back to him. He just moves us in those ways. I find few people who aren't part of this church body who come through the doors and come and sit and participate in a worship event that are not moved by that. In fact, I hear so many times from so many new people, they walk in, they sit down, and they've never experienced worshiping together with us before, and they said, here's what they say, I cried through the whole service. And I came back the next week, and I cried through the whole service. And I came back the next week, I cried. And some people said, for 6 weeks, I just cried through the whole service. What is that all about? Well, that's just God doing what he does when we worship him. He just moves on our hearts and our souls and takes hold of who we are. He invites us into his presence. It's used to prepare us and lead us. It's called worship. It doesn't only prepare us to hear the word like the preaching that we're doing, but it actually moves us. It often is the word of God into our soul, and sometimes that's how we move through our day, is with earbuds or earpods, those whole things, and we're just listening to him speak to us, and we worship because maybe our job allows for that. And we get to worship sometimes the whole day. Whether a verse or a chorus or a few notes plucked on a guitar or keys played on the keyboard, we're so blessed to be led in worship to God with such beauty and wonder, aren't we? I don't know if you and I really understand how blessed we really are with the teams that God uses to lead us. Not every church gets that blessing, and I'm not saying you have to have a full band. I don't believe you do at all. A single guitar or a keyboard or sometimes just a great voice will take us straight to the throne. It doesn't really matter. But I'd say we're very blessed. We're very blessed indeed. Psalm 144 verse 9 says, I'll sing a new song to you, O God. I'll sing your praises, Zamar, with a 10-stringed harp. You could say that about any of the instruments and any of the voices. Todah is the next expression of praise, and it's an extension of the hand like this, so to speak, in thanksgiving, or a confession of praise from our heart, or thanksgiving for those things not yet received, or it's also called a choir of worshipers. But here's the part I like the most, a hand extended in thanksgiving for things not yet received. And so when you're standing in front of the Lord, and again, it's so instinctive, and maybe there's something on your mind or heart, and you're just asking God for it as you're worshiping, or maybe it's in the privacy of your own home and your own chair time with the Lord, and you just put your hands out and you say, oh God, I pray in advance, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do, and I don't know if I'm going to agree with it, but I thank you in advance for everything that you're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to agree with it, but I thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to agree with it. See, that's, we just have to keep reminding us maybe that maybe he won't answer exactly the way we want, but thank you, God, you're in control. It's different, isn't it? It's an expression of honor, a hand extended, an expectation that he's going to show up and that he's going to move and that he's going to come through. He works on behalf of those who love him, the scripture says. Psalm 56 verse 11 says also, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? Just stop there for a second. Some of you should walk out with that first line today. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? How many of you are worried about what someone else is about to do to you or going to do to you or said about you or anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. But if that's on your mind, you know, that person said this or that. No, you know, what can mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks, Todah, for your help. I thank you in advance.
It's about trusting God in advance, thanking Him for the outcome He'll bring in advance of what has yet to happen. And when we see the outcome, like we said, whether it's to our liking or not, we still yet praise Him. It's a deeper and more mature piece of our worship. Job, if you know the story of Job, whom God permitted to be tested by Satan, because Satan said, I've gone through the earth, I've looked for somebody who I can't just roll over because everybody's so easy to conquer. Where are they? Where's someone who reveres you, oh God? And God says, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And so God gives Job, or Satan, permission to test Job. And Satan goes right after him. And he starts taking every good thing from his life and ripping it right out of his hands, including his children and all of his houses and land, all of his servants. Everything is gone. Do you know what Job said about God? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And Job knew who it was. Job knew God permitted this. But though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I worship him. I praise you even in the storms. Sometimes God releases and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes there's great provision, like overflowing provision, and then there's just enough to get by, just enough for what we need. And sometimes he heals according to our greatest desires and prayers. Oh God, please heal her. Please heal him. Please bring your healing power upon them, oh God. And then sometimes he doesn't, and he takes them. And so we say in those times, yet will we praise him? ? Or let's say it differently, yet we will praise him. Yet we will. It doesn't matter. I can trust in you, O God. Yet will I praise you. That's my confidence in you, O God. You are my confidence. We sing that. Do you and I believe that? We worship you, O God. We put our whole trust in you. When things do not go the way that we want them to go, we put our whole trust in you, oh God. That's how we adore you, Lord. You're the Father who knows exactly what's best for me. Is that what you can say, and is that what I can say? We want to be able to say it. Three more left. I'll be brief. Barak means to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration, to praise, to salute, or to thank. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. It's a word used to humble ourselves, to bow our hearts in reverence and worship before the Lord, our God and Father of us all, who has every hair on our head numbered. That's what the scripture says. He knows every hair on your head, and he has ordained every single step for you and me. He ordained it. Before we were ever even born, do you think he knows you? He knows you so well. He knows me so well. So embarrassing sometimes. He knows me so well and he loves me anyway. He does. When we're talking about bowing, of course, it's a physical posture and you can go down to your knees physically, but it's also a posture of our heart. And I think the posture of our heart is even more important, don't you? That when we come before him, we bow our hearts in reverence. Let me tell you, the pre-qualification, so to speak, of anybody who comes on our staff or any one of our elders is a person who's willing to bow their heart before God. I don't want to see anything else first. I want to know that. I want to know that you will bow your heart before Jesus and that I will bow my heart before Jesus. That's number one. That's the biggest thing I want to. That's the only thing that matters to me right up front. Because if there's any other agenda than to bow our hearts before God, no, I don't want to serve with you. No, I don't. And you don't want to serve me if I have any other, or serve with me, not serve me. That was a really Freudian slip. You don't want to serve with me if my heart's not bowed before God. I promise you don't want to do that. It'll be a terrible thing. And so we got to bow our hearts before God in worship. In addition to all-out praise where we lift our hands instinctively,
And when we shout hallelujah, or we sing, or we dance, whatever, we also need to have a heart that's bowed in reverence. The next expression of praise is tequila, a song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song, not tequila, not Margaritaville. We don't sing, that's not one of our praise songs at all. Tequila, not tequila. Remember that. Tequila gives you a different kind of praise, not what we're looking for. Tequila. Listen to what it means again. A song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song, and it's one of my favorites, because it too is nearly an involuntary reaction to the goodness of God. You can't even stop it. It just wells up within you. And it happens to me when Beth leaves the house and I'm home alone and I read the scripture, and something in the scripture just ignites my heart. Sometimes I'll just burst forth in one of those tequila songs, and I make sure if the windows are open, I don't go too loud so they don't call the squad on me, because I'm telling you, it's just exciting when something bursts within your heart and you can't contain it, and you just start singing out to God. And I make some really strange melodies when that happens. Sometimes I do it in my car. No one else can hear me. But it's when we see something in creation that He has done, or when we read the scriptures themselves and we go, so powerful, oh God, I feel like I can't stand it. I just want to worship You. And so you burst forth in song, or sometimes we sing a song or a chorus that we know here, and scripture also says that God inhabits the praise of His people. I love that scripture. And even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, if you start praising Him, like in song, His Spirit just races down and inhabits your praise, because it's your praise that He loves, and my praise that He loves. He just loves it. I know it's true. And one of the choruses I sing pretty often at home is one that you'll recognize. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. For every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sometimes I'll just walk through the house and that's what I sing. All my life You have been faithful. And I'll sing loud, all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I'll sing of Your goodness, oh God. There's so much goodness. I look at all that we've been blessed with, and so many triumphs and a few tragedies along the way. He's so good. He is. And the final word is Shabbat. To address in a loud tone, or to shout, or to commend, to glorify. Psalm 63, 1-4 says, O God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen You in Your sanctuary, and I've gazed upon your power and Your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise or shabak You. I will praise You as long as I live, lifting up my hands to You in prayer. We are the ones who shout to the Lord. That's our responsibility. Who cry out in praise for His unfailing love, for what is better than life itself. Just You, oh God. Your presence. Someday, we'll be before the Lord without all of the trappings of our past that we keep carrying with us. Someday we're going to stand in heaven in glory with God, clean, and He's going to say, come on in, come on in. I've got this space, and we're going, we won't even say, you're kidding, because we won't even be thinking that. We're just going to step right in, and we're going to praise Him. Imagine what's going on in heaven right now. The angels that are flying back and forth across over the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they just never stop saying, holy, holy, holy. It's better than life. It's what they do. And the 24 elders around the throne taking off their crowns, crying, holy,
worshiping God, we're going to be there. We're the ones who have the privilege of letting the world know of His amazing grace and His salvation, given to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. Why aren't we telling them that? Why aren't we going more? Why aren't we saying, you there in my neighborhood, come over here, I have something I need to share with you. And we're so paralyzed sometimes, aren't we? Paralyzed by what other people will think about the God that we say we love and worship and adore with all of who we are. And I'm as guilty as any of you for not taking that step over. I just say, God, send them to me. Makes it easier. But I think He'd prefer that I just go, strike up a conversation, and tell them about what a great God and Father that I have. And the Son, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer, that if they don't choose to follow or receive, will not have the hope that we have. But we're the ones to worship Him. We're the ones to tell others, holy is His name. And together we're going to come before Him this morning to do that very thing again as a body. It's how we're going to finish out our morning. But before we do, we're going to participate in the most humble of remembrances, the place we come to with the greatest of humility and thankfulness as we remember Jesus. So if you'll get your cup out, and we'll share in a moment. But I want to pray for us as we prepare to thank God and remember Jesus. So let me pray for us, and then we'll share in just a moment. Father God, we thank You for the gift of the salvation that You have given to us in Christ Jesus. We would pray that our hearts would be like the hearts of the disciples who, on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, could not stay quiet. And they didn't even really understand what was about to happen. They couldn't see it all coming. And many of them couldn't stay around for what was about to happen to You, O God, through Your Son, Jesus. And we all sitting in this place know the rest of the story. And we know that without that story, we wouldn't even be sitting here. And without that story, we wouldn't have what we just finished talking about, the hope of heaven before You in a place that's not corrupted, in a place where there is no sin and no consequence, where there are no tears or crying or pain, and where there is no shame, but all glory to You. And all praise and all honor to You. And so we thank You right now for the gift of Jesus. We praise You so much. And some of us can't thank You enough for the covering of our sin, for the grace that's been poured out on us in such great proportion. And we acknowledge that to You, our Father. Thank You. We put our hands out in thanksgiving to You, O God. Thank You for what You've done. And thank You yet in advance for what You have yet to do through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus. We worship You. We praise You in His name. Amen.